No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Baseball Insiders Prospect Edition. I'm Adam Weinrub, joined, as I am every Tuesday, by FanSided's MLB Prospect Guru, Eric Cole. Eric took the reins solo last week. I am very thankful that he did that, recapping the draft and the futures game and looking ahead a little bit, talking about the week prior in minor league action, because I was on the road in Atlanta, absolutely losing my mind, running around. And it was a great brief respite from the baseball news cycle going absolutely wild. We caught our breath. We sat in the ATL, we watched Ludacris, baseball's All-Stars also watched Ludacris and looked kind of nonplussed. But as soon as the All-Star game was over, time for trade season, the rumors are heating up. I said that with air quotes, are they? I mean, it's sort of the same stuff floating around the ether, but we're getting a closer look at some names who we thought would be exchanged. And now it's becoming even clearer which desperate buyers are going to unleash some top prospects on the landscape. But these are the prospects that seem most likely to be traded at the upcoming deadline. Eric, we tried our best. These are the five names that I think you can safely bet will either be on the move over the next 10 days or discussed heavily. We want to make sure people are familiarized with them before the deadline arrives.
Yeah, this was kind of a tough topic to prepare for because, like, at the end of the day, like, you know, who gets moved ultimately gets decided at the last minute, and like there's multiple parties involved in making that decision. So what we tried to go for were names that were on teams that are obvious buyers, and then also names that like are realistic, like they're not going to move their best prospect most likely, and, you know, figuring out like which players actually fit that mold. And thankfully we had that kind of that all-star break in that time after the draft to kind of think about that a little bit and kind of let the dust settle to kind of like, okay, what does each organization look like after all of that? What needs to happen at the trade deadline for action to actually happen and kind of distill it from there? There's a lot of guys who are going to get moved that we don't mention here. And some of the guys that we mentioned here probably won't get traded because they're good prospects. And if they don't find a deal that to their liking, then the other teams are not going to move them. So it's a tricky thing to discuss with any amount of honesty. You know, there's certainly experts or quote unquote experts out there that will literally just throw three names in prospects in a trade package, put a big name on there and then call it an article. And that doesn't really make much sense. That's not really how baseball works. At the end of the day, right now is when executives value prospects the most. This is like we are living in that time right now because of the team control, because of the cost control. Executives don't like to give that up willingly, especially for really good players. So to move those prospects takes more than just a rental who happens to be a name that people recognize. So that makes sense.
Yes, and not only do execs value these prospects more than ever, and in their attempts to sell the future to their fan bases, they're more enthusiastic about acquiring prospects or holding on to them than ever before. But this doesn't just, you know, this isn't just, okay, let me take a look at your pipeline list and you take a look at my major league roster and we come to a conclusion. What about 4, 9, 12? No, I could do 5, 10, 12. Okay, great, we have a deal. Like, different teams evaluate these prospects differently. There might be someone buried deep in someone's top prospect list that another team falls in love with. I'm thinking about the Pirates and Blue Jays swapping Charles McAdoo last year. Like, that was a name who was sort of bubbling under the surface. Was, you know, I don't remember if he was unranked or just ranked low, but the Pirates knew that they had a commodity. The Blue Jays were interested, and so far that has not necessarily panned out. But differentiated value. We tried to distill sort of the biggest names, the players who could most easily be seen as headliners from the teams that are sort of most desperate to add. We remind everybody, join us again tomorrow. Robert Murray will be here at 1 o'clock Eastern time, and then again on Friday at 3:30 Eastern time next week before the deadline. I think we might do shows every single day, but we are definitely going to have a trade deadline live stream on that Thursday. So subscribe, hit that join button, join us in the Discord, ask us questions between shows. We are more than happy to answer them. Subscribe to the Moonshot as well. This week on Fansided MLB's weekly email newsletter, Robert Murray will be evaluating our trade proposals, the rest of the staff. So definitely subscribe to the Moonshot for that. You can also read all that and more on fansided.com/baseball-insiders. And we're going to be getting your questions too. Already see a couple of early ones, so appreciate those. We're definitely going to try to address those as best we can. And I think we can sort of address the Keller Yankees fit right off the rip, because my first prospect who I wanted to talk about in terms of most likely to be on the move is Cam Schlittler, the 100-mile-an-hour throwing Yankees starter who got his call-up last week, made his first major league start against the Seattle Mariners, went pretty well, gave up a couple homers, you know, line was blemished. But I think of the Yankees' 7 fastest pitches this year, 6 of them were Schlittler in that game. So that Schlittler went from sitting 93, 95 to inexplicably, or, you know, congrats to the pitching lab, throwing 100. That creates a lot of strain on the arm. I love watching, you know, Schlittler controlled rock and fire. He has solid command. He was a little skittish in his debut, but it didn't look like he was straining. That said, he did come down with a little bit of biceps discomfort in the wake of that start. He pitches again tonight in Toronto. I do think he takes the mound, but I think this very well may be his final start as a Yankee and a showcase opportunity. They've got plenty of arms. They're going to be dealing from their surplus of arms. He might be the one who's drawn the most headlines recently. I think if you're looking at non-rentals, there's a high probability that he's in the package. If the Yankees are looking to expand a Eugenio Suarez package to include Merrill Kelly, like some of the rumors we've seen, there's a high probability he's in that package. I would say Spencer Jones, not untouchable, but not readily going to be exchanged for some of the names that are available in this current market. Like, touchable, but for whomst? For which of these people are you touching Spencer Jones? Schlittler is more likely to be the Yankees centerpiece, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I just don't see anyone at the trade deadline right now that the Yankees would want to part with George Lombard or Spencer Jones, honestly. Whereas in Schlittler's case, he's like a big league ready arm with power stuff that sort of has popped onto the scene this year. And those kind of like sell high guys that are close to big league ready are the ones that can be very intriguing for teams to deal and that can move. And in Schlittler's case, you know, he has that kind of stuff that could appeal to a team either as a bullpen piece or in the rotation, kind of depending on what they need down the stretch and where he's at health-wise. The arm injury is a little bit of a concern, and I'm certain that that might give some teams some pause. But at the end of the day, you know, like a team like Arizona, for example, who would like to have some more starting pitching coming in, Schlittler seems like he would be really appealing, assuming that his medicals check out.
And that's what makes this question about the Yankees and Mitch Keller such a tough one, because the Yankees have a surplus of arms. So do the Pittsburgh Pirates. If the Pirates do trade Mitch Keller, it will probably be because of financial relief. Like, that's what makes it such a tough deal. You are making this trade so that the acquiring team can take on the bulk, if not the entirety, of Keller's contract. And you are lessening the package that you're going to get in return for that reason in that case. If the Pirates value prospect return for a guy like Keller, who sort of is like a number three with potential number two upside, but sort of just an innings eater at this point, who's an extreme fly ball guy, maybe not a Yankee Stadium fit. I think if you the Pirates are willing to accept that contract burden, you can get a Bryce Cunningham or an Elmer Rodriguez Cruz in this deal. But those are pitchers and you don't really want them. So, you know, Roderick Arias is a bad piece. Spencer Jones and Lombard, I'd say, are unavailable in this case. You want the Yankees to take on that whole contract? I think the ceiling is Everson Pereira, Rafael Flores, the catcher, first base swingman. I mean, I don't know, man. Like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah, I just don't think Keller's going to command the type of return that Pirates fans are going to want, because he was a top pitching prospect and they've been in love with him. Just the reality is that he's just not going to command that, especially if they're trying to get the salary relief. And the front office there knows that they want the salary relief. They're not going to try to get both. They're going to take the team that takes the most money and then has like the best prospect on the tail end of that. So in that particular case, I just don't see Pittsburgh getting very much for him.
Yeah, appreciate the question, of course, but it's a tough 1-2 matchup on it, and that's maybe a reason why I don't see the Yankees being involved. Owen Casey, as Charlie notes, we've seen the Cubs on the back burner on Keller a little bit this week as compared to where they emerged in the rumor mill last week. That feels like a better trade fit to me than any of the Yankees pieces.
Yeah, and Casey is again one of those prospects that kind of we're going to talk about. He was certainly someone that I thought about for this list. He didn't make this one, but again, one prospect thing to think about with prospects at the trade deadline are like guys where there's like a bottleneck, where there's like three guys competing for one spot in the big leagues who are kind of roughly in the same spot. In Casey's case, he can really hit, but maybe he's not like at the top of the pecking order in terms of, you know, getting called up anytime soon. So that's when you want to trade those guys before they just sit at AAA forever and don't get an opportunity because there's no space for them. And then they get prospect fatigued out or they get exposed in somehow. So like, again, Casey's kind of one of those names. That's another kind of classic example there.
Yeah, and there's a reason why Kyle Teal was in the Garrett Crochet trade. It's that bottleneck, maybe they believe in Carlos Narvaez. Who knows? But now the White Sox have a bottleneck. Anyway, let's get back to the definite buyers in the Eugenio Suarez market. You can add the Mariners to the top of that list along with the New York Yankees, and they have a clear trade chip to dangle.
Yeah, I do love Lazaro Montes, and I think that in terms of like power hitting prospects, he's right up there with just about anybody in the game right now. You have to put Spencer Jones in that conversation right now. We'll talk more about him in a little bit. But the Mariners need offense, and it does seem a little bit odd to trade a guy who's at Double-A that does provide offense, who could possibly play first base, for example, if you really need him to. But he only just got the Double-A. You don't necessarily want to rush a guy like that. And Seattle needs help with their lineup right now. They need a bat. Either of the corner infield spots would be good for them. So I think in this particular case, 2026 might be a generous arrival time for Montes. I think he just might be a guy who you might want to move relatively slow, give lots of reps to, so that way his hit tool doesn't fall behind the rest of his tools, and he just kind of gets more and more used to professional pitching. And if that's the case, then maybe there's another team out there that has a first baseman or a third baseman. Again, you could come. I would put them in that Eugenio Suarez mix, except that the 2 years that Eugenio was in Seattle didn't go particularly well. So I don't know if that's going to be a great fit. But again, if there's a piece that works for them that gives them a bat that they need, maybe gives them another DH option. He is a name that they probably should consider. And if they don't consider him for that, then it makes me think that he might be in the running for a call up during the second half, which would be pretty exciting, but also pretty surprising.
Yeah, and if the White Sox ask me to do this, if I'm the Seattle Mariners, I hang up the phone and then shoot the phone in the receiver. I will.
No, zero chance. Zero. Yeah. That will not happen.
I regret picking up the phone. I regret the phone being invented, if that's the kind of call I receive. I call up Alexander Graham Bell in a time machine and I say, uninvent the phone. I do not want to be asked about Lazaro Montes for Luis Robert straight up.
Yeah. Luis Robert's going to be lucky to get any sort of return at all if the White Sox want to get any of that salary covered at all. I don't know how they're going to move him other than maybe eating part of that salary. And even then, if I'm another team, like what am I looking at that makes me particularly excited in terms of what I'm getting? So no, he's not going to command Lazaro Montes. I'm not sure he'd command Lazaro Montes even if the White Sox ate most of his contract. I'll just put it bluntly.
As long as the Boston Red Sox stop committing catcher's interferences, they are right up at the top of the deadline buyers. And they're not, again, they're not touching the top tier, the guys that they've already graduated. They've eliminated, you know, Meyer Campbell's not getting touched. Anthony's rookie of the year. So below that, I don't think they touch Franklin Arias either.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
That said, two interesting names at AAA who could probably be either primary or secondary pieces in trades right now. Blaze Jordan's hot streak has put him on the map, not as a centerpiece, but I'd say you certainly can have that conversation if you're the Red Sox. You don't get laughed out of the room. But there's another name who probably is going to be fronting their packages.
Yeah, the password himself, Justin Garcia. He's been really fun to watch this year. The power is very real. He has some really exciting physical raw tools to work with. And again, this is another guy that is a very good prospect in his own right, but he's also in an outfield mix in Boston that is already a mess, and they already don't have enough spots for the guys they have on major league contracts right now. So he does feel like if they're going to make a move for more pitching or maybe some infield help or, you know, again, first base at the trade deadline this year, probably wouldn't, of the candidates that I see as potentially available, I don't think I'd be giving up Garcia for any of those. But again, if you're putting together a bigger package, maybe for a player with multiple years of control, then, you know, the password is probably a guy that you want to throw in there. It would be a painful loss, to be honest with you, because the guys with like that kind of like raw power and also like an absolute cannon for an arm in center field, you just don't have a lot of those guys. But again, you have to kind of give up something to get something. In his case, he is a somewhat redundant piece of talent in the Red Sox system.
Uncle Ted, I don't want to get into this now, but I do promise you that righties do have to exist in Major League Baseball. And someday I'm going to get to the bottom of this fascination Ted, you have. Every time.
Ted, I'm going to help you out here, okay? There are two lefty bats on this list. You'll be happy about that. And no pitcher throws a cutter, and I'm perfectly fine with that. I think we're done. I think we're good, Adam.
We appreciate the comments as always. But yeah, there are righty bats in baseball. The first time there's an all-lefty lineup that wins the World Series, I will be 250 years in the grave. And Major League Baseball as an organization will have disbanded. That's just not how it works. But the Red Sox outfield mess you mentioned, I mean, it's a mess because there are too many talented outfielders to deal with. They may or may not be looking to get rid of Jarren Duran. And the Phillies are a rumored destination, I guess. He had a leadoff home run against Zach Wheeler yesterday. Maybe that helps the sale job. But we've heard about the Padres a ton. And if the Padres are in on Duran and trying to make something happen and get creative here, that only means that this outfielder is closer to on the way out than
he's
already.
Yeah, the left-handed hitting Tirso Ornelas is our guy here. I love Tirso in the sense that, like, nothing about his package stands out. He's just, like, a pretty good baseball player who can just flat-out hit. And he just does not get a chance in San Diego. And I understand why. They have a really stacked big league roster out there. And giving a guy like that a chance when they don't really, doesn't have anywhere kind of close to the same upside, but there are teams right now that would kill to have an outfielder with an above average hit tool. They would just they would love to have that right now. He's been at AAA forever. This isn't a guy who's not major league ready. You can kind of treat him as such in a trade deal. Now, what trade he would fit in, again, like the Duran thing would certainly make things interesting, and I'm not sure if that's who Boston would necessarily want from the Padres, but I'm not sure if Boston would be able to get who they want from the Padres, because between Eason Salas being hurt, I don't think they're going to move him at all, and I don't think they want to move Leo DeVries at all, and I frankly can respect the hell out of that. So I don't really know how that deal actually works unless they're dealing from the big league roster, but Tirso's like as a trade piece for like a legitimate one of the better players on the trade market, I could see him being in that deal. Maybe not the centerpiece, but like if there's like one of those packages where like there's two good prospects, but maybe not a particularly great one, he seems like he'd fit in one of those prospect packages for sure. And I kind of hope he does, because if he gets to go to another organization, I think he's just going to be like an above average regular who hits 260, 270 and is perfectly fine and plays for 5 or 6 years and then, you know, maybe fades his way out, but he deserves better than what he's getting right now.
The final prospect name we wanted to talk about here does involve those Philadelphia Phillies who I keep getting, my Twitter mentions are full of people who believe in Dave Dombrowski making a bigger splash than has been advertised at this trade deadline. And I want to align with you because I think you're right. That's what he does. They know their window has limited, availability. And the Phillies right now have a core that is impressive, that is aging, that is buoyed by pitching like Christopher Sanchez. You're going to have to start making difficult decisions moving forward. This is the year where it all looks like it works. So why not trade for a guy like Duran? And why not trade for a guy like, why not trade a guy like Mick Abel in the process? I mean, what would Boston want from Philly for Duran? I know our commenters on the last show yesterday really wanted Christopher Sanchez. Don't think you can shoot that high, but I don't think it's outrageous to say after trading Priester away, you get a guy like Abel back plus additional pieces for Durant. But
yeah, I like Abel as a piece, and we talked about him a little bit yesterday when we were kind of coming up with this list. The issue the Phillies have is like because of the way Dombrowski operates, he really does trade away basically any prospect that's not nailed down unless they're like can't miss guys. And I can't see a world where they would trade Andrew Painter after they've invested this much time and effort into getting him healthy again. They clearly love him. There's good reason to love him when he's right, but they're pitching rich right now. Their rotation is pretty strong. Now, is it going to stay that way? Maybe not, but, and maybe that's a reason why they would try to keep Abel behind and out of a trade package. But at the same time, like Dombrowski is a very aggressive GM. If he's given the opportunity to make a deal he thinks makes the club better, for maybe it's another impact bat for one of these spots in the lineup that's been struggling a little bit, or like again, bullpen help is what kind of was their big number one need, but they just signed David Robertson. So maybe they don't view it the same way anymore, in which case maybe they don't feel like they need to make any other major moves. Because, I mean, again, this Phillies team's pretty good right now, and maybe what they want to do is do more roster building in the offseason with those types of trades as well as free agents. But – again, if they're going to make a move for a real player, then Mick Abel kind of feels like the guy that they would want to move. And they could return something because, again, big league ready arm comes from a position of strength and is going to be in high, high demand at the trade deadline just for guys who eat innings.
We appreciate all of these questions. And if you've got more, we will absolutely get to them. But I want to, before we sign off, talk about the week that was in minor league baseball. And this brings us to Spencer Jones, who, baseball toss. Huge fan. Really appreciate you always popping in here. But Spencer Jones is no longer available in an Adrian Hauser pack. But I know why you want him. Spencer Jones, Brian Cashman has an exceedingly difficult decision on his plate. And when he has those on his plate, he typically eats the plate instead of the food and gets them wrong. But Jones, right now, for me, based on what he has shown at AAA and at AA towards the end of his time there, I do not see anyone on the market that I would deal him for. And if his development stalls and if he becomes this lesser version of Joey Gallo, then okay, fine. You can make me take my medicine for not dealing him at his highest value. But I think his value is so high right now that he doesn't make sense in any of the trades that are being presented. Maybe in the offseason. I'm not saying he's untouchable. I'm not saying I would never entertain a deal given his boom or bust nature, but he's shown me something over the last month that I didn't know was in there. Now that I know it's in there, I just cannot justify trading him right now for what's on the table. And he's the hottest bat in the minors. I don't think it's particularly.
Yeah, he's definitely on my risers this week. And one of three, he's by far the one that stood out the most. you don't really see numbers like this very often from a guy. 8 for 10 with like 5 runs, 3 home runs, 5 RBIs. Since getting the AAA, he's like been orders of magnitude better. And I don't really know what the Yankees should do with him. He's a guy who I think is just going to strike out a lot. So it just comes down to how much does everything else play in games. I think Joey Gallo, I don't think he's going to be quite that bad, but he is a little bit concerning for me. But overall, again, great showing in AAA. I think he's going to be a lot of fun. And if he does even approach what his ceiling is, this is like top 15, top 10 player in baseball material. A couple other names for risers. Yoframe Castillo from the Rangers farm system, low-level minor league guy, is only kind of just getting started stateside, but had a great week last week, 9 for 22. Scored 6 runs, hit his first home run of the season, which was pretty nice to see, and drove in 8 runs. Not going to be a power hitter despite the home run last week, but at the same time, they can really hit, and he can also run. And finally, the Astros, Miguel Alola. I really like Alola in terms of the swing and miss stuff, but he's also a guy who's liable to kill somebody in the opposing batter's box because he doesn't always seem to know where he was going. He did have one start last week. Good news, 11 strikeouts. We love to see it, and a lot of zeros other than that, except for walks where he walked 5 guys. Again, not a perfect start per se, but for a guy who is trying to force his way into a discussion for a call-up, he's certainly someone to keep an eye on.
And in terms of fallers, luckily we don't have prospects really hurting their trade stock here necessarily. Well, I guess we've got one who could be dangled in discussions, but mostly this is safe names who aren't on the move, who are part of organizations building that are having rough weeks. And you've got one name here who we hope to never mention again in this section as long as we live. And we probably
this is kind of an odd one because I'm used to, you know, bragging on Connor Griffin as much as humanly possible, but he's only had one hit since July 6th. You can't really blame all that on getting hit in the hand by a pitch in the Futures game. Didn't play much last week. Again, it was kind of a truncated week because of the All-Star break. There was a doubleheader. He only played in one game of it. I am not concerned long-term, but except for the fact that I worry that the hand injury is something that could linger for a little while because it seemed to get him pretty square in the Futures game. But he is playing after that, so hopefully it's not a big deal. The other one, and I keep putting him in this bucket, and it's just because I think so much of the raw talent here, and that's lefty Noah Schultz. He is a lefty, so I guess that Uncle Ted probably likes him. He got lit up in the Futures game, but the bigger issue that I have is that he also got scratched from his next minor league start due to a knee injury. And he's kind of one of those big-bodied guys. You don't necessarily want to have a lingering injury issue with one of your joints or something like that, because those guys already have to have so much go right mechanically to be online to the plate and to actually command their stuff. I hope things turn out well for him because, again, I really like the arm when he's right, but unfortunately that hasn't really lined up for him this year. He's really struggled lately. And finally, another Phillies prospect is Aiden Miller. He's had a really tough year at Double A. He's been very challenged by that promotion. He was challenged by that promotion when he first got there last year. So, again, he's going to move a little bit slower than a lot of people thought. He was a very highly thought of draft pick at the time. He's still very highly thought of in terms of talent, but he's taken a little bit longer than I think some people have given credit for. And he just had, again, just the one hit last week, one hit, and it just hasn't really hit much this year. It's hitting like 232 or something like that. Not really what you want to see from one of your top bats, but that's who I've got for this week.
And Futures game, risers, let's just give Jose De Paula his flowers. I wish I had been on the show last week to say wow, but I'm here to say, wow, I love the cut. I love the tenacity. And I also like George Lombard Jr. being mic'd up and saying he scraped the fuck out of himself. So that was good, too. That didn't get mentioned enough in mainstream media. George Lombard Jr., media trained, but has no idea what a live mic is. And that's fine. And that's why we love him. Well, appreciate everybody joining the stream today. Thanks for bringing your questions and your prospect insight and your knowledge and your love of cutters. Robert Murray and I will see you here tomorrow afternoon, 1 p.m. Eastern time for more trade deadline rumors and an absolute frenzy. We'll be back on Friday. Again, 3 shows this week with Robert on the feed. And then trade deadline week, it's all going to be, I mean, every single day. I think Eric and I will be here on Tuesday. Robert and I might be here on Tuesday as well. I mean, it's going to be a mess. I'm going to be an emotional cry disaster. I mean, will a trade be made before we log on again on Monday? It's a good question. The answer is probably. The answer is please. The answer is please.
Yeah, give us please. Something. Give us hey, something, please. Not just the 10 minutes before the deadline ends, please.
No, Jazz went down on the weekend. I have faith that we're going to. There was a big frenzy Friday night before the deadline last year where the Orioles got Eflin. A couple more pieces moved around. I wouldn't mind that, but I hope it's maybe less of a Friday evening and more of a Thursday, Friday afternoon, Saturday afternoon. We all know it's going to be Friday evening, though. That's how it goes. But Eric and I will definitely see you at some point. Please hit that subscribe button if you have not. Hit join. Turn on your notifications. We'll let you know when we are going live, and we're going to be going live a lot over the next week or so. Read the Moonshot. Subscribe to that fan-sided MLB email newsletter to get Robert's view on our trade proposals. Did any of them hold the mustard? He will tell you. Not me. I think mine was good. I think some of the other ones were good, but that's up to him. He'll let us know. And read all that and more, including Eric's prospect column accompanying this on fansided.com/baseball-insiders. Eric, 9 days until D-Day, and then we'll know.
I'm ready for it. It's going to be fun.
We are ready for it, too. Thank you, Eric, for joining me. And thanks, everybody, for hopping in the stream. We'll see you right back here on the Baseball Insider.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.